You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
There are medical screening tests that can save your life. Breast screening for women over 50, cervical cancer screening, the Pap test, and colorectal cancer screening are all recommended for the general population. But what about other tests that are being marketed for healthy people, like full body scans? A new report by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives examines the proliferation of screening for healthy people. The researchers found gaps in the regulation and monitoring of screening technologies in Canada. They warn that this situation could seriously affect the health of consumers, public and private payers, and the workload of medical imaging professionals. Alan Castles is a health policy analyst and drug policy researcher for the University of Victoria School of Health Information Science. He's one of the authors of the report, and Alan joins me this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
What kinds of screening services are currently being offered and promoted to Canadians?
You know, there's a whole range of screening that is really kind of outside the public system. So you've got companies that are saying, you know, come down and get your full body scan, come and get a lung scan or a heart scan. And so those are the major sort of things, heart scans, lung scans, and full body scans. Those are the major things that we looked at in our report. And, you know, we found some relatively shocking things.
Now, what's the difference between a diagnostic and a screening exam?
Sure. So if you've got any symptoms whatsoever, a lump, or you've got, you know, something in your chest or abdomen and your doctor wants to find out, you know, what it is, he may order a CT scan, and that tool can be very helpful in determining what you've got. So that would be called a diagnostic screen if you've already got some symptoms of some kind. Though if you're just a healthy person walking in off the street and wondering if maybe you can get peace of mind by having a screen, that would be just a regular screen. And that's the things that we looked at in this report.
How are these wide-ranging screening exams being promoted?
They're being promoted largely through advertising on television, radio, newspapers, and so on. And so there's that kind of marketing of them. But there's also these kind of preventative screens are being offered to people through, you know, employee benefit plans, or sometimes what we would call the executive health checkup. So if you're a big, important board member of a company, they could offer you the executive health treatment, and that could involve getting a full-body scan.
What are the problems that you see? You said you found some things that were fairly shocking. What are the problems you see with the widespread use of screening tests on healthy people?
Well, I think that the main problem is what I would say to be lack of informed consent. So do people really know what kinds of harm, what kind of dangers might come with having being exposed to this kind of screening? And so that's probably the number one concern that I have, is that people are operating essentially, I think, in a fog of ignorance about the harms related to these screening tests. The other thing, though, which I think is somewhat shocking, is that when we asked the officials at Health Canada about their regulation of both the advertising and the use of, say, CT scanning machines or PET scanning machines, the message that we get from them is that they regulate the sale of the equipment, but they don't regulate how it gets used. They call that a practice of medicine issue. So you might say, well, who's actually regulating the practice of medicine here in terms of exposing patients to these kinds of screening tests? And it's largely the profession of radiology that is supposed to be monitoring the behavior of their members.
And why would that be problematic? Why isn't that the right route to go in terms of regulation?
Well, you know, it's like a lot of professions would prefer not to be regulated. They would prefer to have what we would call industry self-regulation. They want to regulate their own profession. I mean, we see that with medicine and with law and so on, is that the profession prefers to regulate itself. And, you know, that may work most of the time, but in this case, We ask ourselves, why is the profession of radiology out there with their members being involved in what are very questionable tests, and why isn't the profession doing something about it?
I think you also mentioned in your report the potential side effects of a false positive test. What,
sure.
What would they be?
So just to explain to people that when you get it a full body scan or say a lung scan, they are likely to find all kinds of abnormalities in healthy people. So you might have had a chest infection when you were a kid and it left a small scar in your lung, or you might have had exposure to a fungus when you were an adult and it left nodules in your lungs. And when you undergo a CT scan of your lungs, they'll find those things. But what they don't find is whether they're going to be harmful or not. So then you begin this cascade of medical procedures, biopsies, sometimes surgery, hospitalizations, and so on. And so, you know, for every abnormality that they find that is perhaps serious, they're going to find 10 times as many abnormalities that are harmless. So you're essentially exposing a huge number of people to cancer scares when, in fact, they don't have cancer at all.
What's the impact on the public health system of this overall lack of regulation or self-regulation of these screening tests?
Yeah, what I really wanted to do with this study is try to quantify that, like how much. So of course you get the screen done from the private clinic and they find something, but the private clinic doesn't go and do the procedures to determine whether it's a problem or not. You get ejected into the public system. So all those patients become patients in the public system and further, you know, taking resources and so on from the public system. Nobody has ever been able to quantify that because all the information that comes from the screening, the private screening labs and so on is secret. We can't, they won't basically give us their data and tell us how many people are they screening and how many people are they ejecting into the public system. It's a big question mark. Even the Canadian Institutes of Health Information, who tried to do a survey of CT scans and PET scan machines in Canada, couldn't do a complete report because they couldn't get the data from the private sector.
I understand that you surveyed hundreds of people in Canada about their knowledge around these tests. Are people aware that these tests are unregulated?
You know, that's the sad part of it. No, most people are not aware that the tests are unregulated, and most people are not aware that that Health Canada nor the profession of radiology doesn't condone this kind of screening. And furthermore, and this was probably the most surprising thing, is that people have an over, a misleading understanding of the safety of this kind of screening. So we asked people, do you think a CT scan, a normal CT scan of your chest delivers more, the same, or less radiation than a chest X-ray? And about 45 to 47% of people said it delivers the same or less radiation than a conventional chest X-ray. Well, the reality is a CT scan of your chest delivers the equivalent of about 500 chest X-rays.
Wow.
So people are being exposed to a large amount of radiation, and you know, you might say, well, is that causing cancer? And I didn't really have any data on this until a study that came out just a couple weeks ago from Harvard, which said that they estimated that about 1.5% of all cancers in the U.S. are caused by CT screening. So the use of CT scanners. So the radiation that those machines are delivering is causing a small percentage of cancers in the U.S.
Hmm. What are your recommendations for policy changes to address this situation?
Yeah, I think that the big thing is that consumers need independent, objective information before they agree to have a screen. And so I don't see any organization that has produced any objective information for consumers. So we created a short two-page guide to screening. We called it "To Screen or Not to Screen." That's the question, and this is a consumer's guide to health screening. That's available on the website of the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, which is policyalternatives.ca. And so that's one of the main things that I wanted to see. I wish that kind of information was produced by a federal agency. They wouldn't need researchers to have to do this, but we saw that there was no good information, so we created it ourselves. The other main recommendation is that there's huge gaps between what people believe is being regulated and what's actually regulated, and that, you know, the Canadian Association of Radiologists and Health Canada has to get together and say, who's regulating what? Who's going to be minding the store here so that we don't have people exposed unnecessarily to radiation?
Now, Alan, back in at the turn of the year, you wrote an article in Common Ground calling for people to adopt a different mantra around healthcare. Instead of sort of more is more, you encourage people to think sometimes less is more. What's the ethical impulse behind that?
The ethical impulse is that more is not always better. In fact, more can be more harmful. The more you expose people to radiation, the more you try to sell questionable tests to people, questionable drugs to people, questionable medical interventions, that in many cases you're actually delivering less health in the end. So, you know, I think at the heart of it, you want to make sure that any time you expose people to new drugs, to new tests, new diagnostic procedures, is that the consumer at the end of the day has to make a decision with fully informed. And sadly, so much of what happens in terms of medical care is that people, when they get more information about the procedure and they become more informed, they decide not to do it because they start learning about the potential downsides.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us about this morning.
This has been a real pleasure. Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Alan Castles. He's a health policy analyst and drug policy researcher for the University of Victoria School of Health Information Science. And the report is available at policyalternatives.ca or through a direct link at our website at coopradio.org/redeye.